What up, what up, everybody? It's Double G, and we're starting the show off a little different. No John LaRocca, but Dave Meltzer has joined us. Always love it when Dave can come on this show. Appreciate it. Dave is actually popping in sort of at late on a late notice because Andrew Zarian was supposed to join me, but he's caught up in work. I know Dave's caught up in work too, so we're going to go quick. Dave, the big news of the day is Mandy Rose and WWE. And she has been released from WWE. How much of this was WWE releasing her versus she and WWE disagreeing on things and them sort of both going their own way?
You know, I don't really know. I know that everything came. I mean, I think it was more WWE releasing her, but it all came down in the last day or two. You know, I mean, the title change wasn't supposed to happen last night. That was a late decision. The match wasn't even supposed to take place that night. They were supposed to do a different match, and they rearranged the card on, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. And I think it was Tuesday. Yeah. And everything just changed from there. And you know, it's from the account she was doing. And I guess that they found out about things that were more risque than they wanted their talent to do. And she makes a lot of money from it. And but I think that she may have gone past the breaking point of what is allowable today for talent. So that's probably where it all went down. And there were other things, too, but that's the main thing.
Now, we've heard in the past with Zelina Vega and her Twitch and OnlyFans and stuff like that, where they were drawing a pretty hard line on what you could do. How was she able to actually have this account? Has something changed with them, or was this, or were they getting a piece of her business? How was that? How did that work?
What I was told was, I mean, there's different rules for the main roster. I mean, because that's one of the reasons why I had pretty much been told that she was getting the best of both worlds, because she was still getting her main roster contract, but she was getting the freedom that the main roster talent doesn't have. So, you know, that, you know, the restrictions aren't as tight. So it's kind of like a little loophole there. And that's why, you know, it happened the way it did. But there's still limitations. And, you know, they have sponsors and things like that. And at that point, once it hits sponsors, you know, or things happen where they think it might hit sponsors, then, you know, you have to stop. Or maybe they think you've gone too far and you went past the point of being allowed.
Yeah. At first, when I saw the story earlier this morning, I had only seen the stuff on her Instagram, which, you know, there's like bikini pictures and stuff on her Instagram.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
And then somebody sent me what they believed was probably the crossing point. And I was really surprised because, like you said, it is way more risque than I even realized.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was a certain scene, you know, and other things that she was doing on those accounts that crossed the line of what's allowable. When I actually heard about it yesterday before the firing, and I thought, oh my God, like, do they know about this? And if they don't, they're going to know about it soon. And it's going to be, you know, it's like I figured she would have to be gone at that point.
Yeah. And that's why I was wondering, like, how much of this was her decision? Because if they had told her, hey, you got to tone this stuff down, like, it doesn't seem like she was either wanted to or decided, like, whatever it was. But it did seem like a decision
She definitely went. I mean, like, if you have any sense about what the rules are, she went way, way over it.
Right.
Perhaps, you know, I mean, I can't think for her, you know, it's like, I don't know if she was told and just decided that, hey, I'm making more money this way, I don't need them. Let them do what they want to do, or she just wasn't thinking and just figured she could get away with it. Or, you know, I don't know her mentality, where her mind was, what she was told. I only know that it was pretty clear why it happened.
Do we know, I mean, probably not, but obviously there are two other people in her group here who are probably going to be affected by this decision. Have you heard anything about JC and Gigi?
I figured that they're still going to be a tag team, and I don't know that they'll be affected that much. You know, there's a little bit in the sense that, you know, she was kind of carrying some scenes with them, but, you know, their role and their position, I think, is pretty much going to be the same. And, you know, when the talks were bringing them up, It was JC and Gigi that there was talking about bringing up, not her. So they were going to be brought up, and that they're, you know, they were going to be brought up before. And then the decision kind of changed. This was, I don't know, a couple months ago, right around when they did the women's tournament, if you remember. And then they kind of, I think that they had like a match and it was like, okay, maybe they're not ready yet. And yeah, with Gigi, and that something happened in the match that wasn't particularly good. And they just thought they weren't ready yet. But the plan was not to bring her up when they brought her up. So long term, I don't think it changes their trajectory. They'll be brought up when they think that they're ready and not associated with her.
And then I guess last thing is we saw with Paige Van Zandt, where she found out that, you know, she could make more money than be employed by the UFC. This seems to be, I don't know how similar of a decision it is, but there's now sort of a lane created here, right? Like
for certain people, but the thing is, you know, you can make more money, but the question is, and every person's different, is how long before that fan base moves on to the next television star? It's like, yes, perhaps today she's making a killing on it, but that money is fleeting. You know what I mean? It's not like it's going to be there if she's off TV. Maybe it will be there. You know, I mean, it's like every person's different. Every person's appeal is different. I mean, if you know, but you just, I think the scary part or uncertain part, scary is probably not the right word. The uncertain part is you just don't know once you're off that TV and once you're not talked about how long that will happen. And I mean, it may be a long time. It may be, you know, a short time, you know.
And also the ability to find spots, like for Paige showing up in AEW a few times, still, you know, the bare knuckle thing is what it is, but at least there's still some publicity there. And that seems to be part of the playbook, which is, I mean, for Mandy, it's build your name through WWE, become famous and create your socials and do all that work. And then you kind of have this fan base. But like you said, how long before it dwindles? And I guess part of that blueprint is to try and keep your name out there as much as possible.
Well, you know, there's other ways to keep your name out there besides being on NXT television. I mean, it could go, if she went to AEW, she'd have a bigger television vehicle.
Do you think Tony would let that website continue the way it is? That's a hard one.
That's a hard one. I mean, I've never talked to him about that subject. I would think no, based on that, but I don't know that. I don't know that, but I would kind of go on the no side on that, actually. Yeah.
All right. Quickly switching gears.
But still, there's a million independent promoters that
sure don't care. Absolutely.
You know? And not just promoters, but, you know, just people who, you know, I mean, there's definitely there's many, many other avenues for publicity and being, you know, staying in the public eye. And you can just do it yourself. You know, you can promote yourself like, you know, Tammy Sitch did and, you know, many, many others have.
Yeah. Okay, you and Brian were involved in a documentary. Did you get to see the Vince documentary yet?
Yeah, I saw it last night.
All right, first thoughts on it. What did you think it was good?
I think given that I heard from friends that didn't know anything about Vince McMahon, and I watched with people who knew limited about Vince McMahon, and were just, I think, a combination of fascinated and appalled, and thought that the subject matter blew them away because they didn't know this much. And it's all thrown together in 2 hours. There's a lot of stuff over the last 40 years. And when it was over, it was like, man, he looked really, really bad. Sometimes like, I don't get the full gist of him because there's so much and it's for so long, but when you throw it all together and there's plenty of other things that weren't out there, you know, and in 2 hours, again, there's a lot of stuff that could go in, they could go into more detail, but they didn't have time. They did a lot of, you know, stuff. If you watch like Dark Side, obviously a lot of the stuff was repeated, but this wasn't meant for the people who watch Dark Side. This was meant for a different audience. You know, from a factual historical standpoint, I found minor problems, but very, very minor. I mean, the only one that was, you know, there was the one minor one, I guess, was acting like, you know, he took Jim Barnett's TV, you know, in Georgia. And that was just completely incorrect. You know, I mean, Jim Barnett had been gone from Georgia for years and was actually involved in the other end. But, you know, aside from, you know, I mean, he was a director of operations for WWE at the time that deal went down, or WWF. But You know, I mean, so as far as factual, I mean, I look at that stuff from a factual standpoint. It's like they got the facts right. There's a lot of different things there. Yeah, you know, in the Montreal thing, there's a lot of, you know, the Montreal thing is not something you can do in 6 minutes because it's a more complicated story. And that one, I think, got, you know, and I don't really think Darkside did a great job on the Montreal thing to begin with.
No.
So that one, I think, was a little bit weaker. You know, overall, I mean, it was, I wasn't unhappy with it. And I saw people who were, again, people who didn't know the story. I think if knowing, you know, watching it, it was kind of like, well, I mean, it's not like there was anything there that I didn't know, you know, or anything like that, that was new. It was, you know, I don't think anything, you know, was unfair. I thought Brian did great on it. I thought Brian was really, really strong on the show. Russo hit and miss, and some of the others were from old tapes. And I think, you know, Brandon Thurston and Brian Solomon, I thought were very good. So, I mean, I think that, but it was like all reporters you know, and I think, yeah.
Not very little well, talent, I guess.
Yeah.
Very
well, a lot of talent wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah. I mean, that was a big part of it. I mean, the list of talent they wanted, I don't have every name confirmed, but there was a very big list of talent they wanted that they didn't get. I think that there was a lot of people who did not trust that Vince will never come back and absolutely wanted nothing to do with this.
Do you think there was anything related to the plane ride from hell and how that turned out to where they may have lost some trust with the producers?
Yes, I do think so. Yeah. That scared a lot. The way the plane ride from hell story came scared a lot of people that they had done stuff with, who got so much heat from being involved in it that, again, like, just were kind of like, maybe I shouldn't, you know, be on, you know, these shows. So, that was some of it. And others, I mean, you could just tell others were people who, you know, I mean, who I know and clearly, you know, didn't want to be involved in something that they perceived would be that negative to Vince because they like Vince.
Yeah.
Or even if they don't like Vince, they may need Vince, and they did not trust the idea that, you know, number one, if you say really bad things about Vince, the current regime, because Stephanie's his daughter, might hold it against you. Or again, the feeling that hey, you never know if Vince will be back, and you don't want to burn that bridge either. You don't, or not so much burn the bridge, because you can never really burn a bridge with Vince, but you know, get him mad. You know, you don't want to make Vince mad. There's no upside in that to a lot of people who are wrestlers and are around wrestling.
What do you think about the latest piece from the Wall Street Journal? The most aggregated comment was Vince saying that, you know, he left too early and took some bad advice.
Yeah. So I checked around on that, and that's absolutely accurate. He definitely wants to come back, and there's people who are very much, I mean, I again, even people who I know that are tight with Vince and really never thought he would leave, and they're pretty much saying he can't come back. You know, it's just like there's just too much that will happen if he comes back. I think there's a fear of a stock price, a fear of, like, sponsors may have looked the other way if he had never left, but bringing him back, I think that there's a real fear about sponsors, because him leaving kind of indicted him and kind of brought plausibility and stuff to the stories. You know, they could just say, it's, you know, rumors and we don't really know and it's not like whatever. But when he left over it, now he wants to come back on these type of stories in 2022. You know, I think that there's a lot of fear. And, you know, also a lot of people are much happier that he's gone. I think that that's the other part of it. So
I think if he finds a way to come back, there's going to be a lot more leaks of his behavior that come out.
Not only that, yeah, but, you know, again, the thing that's the most interesting, and I don't have the answer, but boy, as you know, before on the previous ones, and even more today, is people in wrestling speculating, like, okay, who are those?
You know,
the timing of everything. It's like this doc comes out. It's on the same day. The Vince story is about to break, you know, as far as him wanting to come back. And then new stories come out, which almost seems like, okay, somebody who really knows and knows Vince wants to come back is trying to throw out more stuff to make sure he can't. And who is, you know, who is that person? And, you know, it's a fascinating thing. I don't have an answer. Everyone can speculate, but, and people will and have. It's actually what I've been hearing all day is people who are speculating who's the person that, or, you know, that is, doing this at this time. So, I'm not sure it will ever come out, but, it's a very interesting subject. And I've been getting a lot of stuff from a lot of people regarding WWE in the last 24-48 hours. I mean, just different people with different stories and things like that. Nothing
stuff you can report on in the Observer?
No. I mean, not at all. But there's like a lot of there's a lot of people who would I'm sure like stuff out based, you know, on different people right now, not just WWE.
Yeah.
But from WWE right now, definitely.
Interesting. What did you think about Russo's comment about he thinks that Vince is like doing as much as he could without getting in trouble right now in WWE?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, just everything that I hear. I mean, is he talking to Stephanie and Triple H? I'm sure he is. I'm sure they talk on the phone. I'm sure he like may suggest things. But I mean, as far as being overt, as far as like it's a different product. I mean, you can tell. You know, and again, it's a different mentality. People are being hired that Vince would never hire. People are not being fired regularly as was happening under Vince. There are people who would be let go who Vince would not have brought back who are there. So ultimately it is not Vince. Now, again, like I said, does he talk to them and do they listen to him? I'm sure that, but I mean, as far as does he have a lot of power? I mean, you know, there's always the power when your daughter's in charge, right?
Yeah.
So there's some. Yeah.
My just sort of take on the documentary in of itself, I thought it was a little lazy by using all the dark side stuff so heavy, because the dark side stuff is not actual like documentary. It's like sort of drama, docudrama. So I thought that the mood of the documentary when they were telling the straightforward story was good, but then when they intermixed all that dark side footage, then it looked a little odd with the, you know, how they do it with the acted scenes and stuff.
Yeah. No, I didn't think the acted scenes in this thing probably were the right way to do it either.
And they were definitely trying to shoehorn as many things from the Dark Side series as they could, which I thought was a little forced as well.
And by doing so, by trying to force so much in there, they didn't get a chance to really go heavily into some of the stuff that perhaps needed more time. But, you know, when you look at it, most of those stories, you know, when you're talking about the history of WWE or the history of Vince, I mean, they did get a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There really is so many stories. There's some that didn't, that wasn't as strong as it could have been because Darkseid never did it. You know, and again, and those would be the weaker subjects that they didn't go into or they barely went into. So yeah. It was very much a compilation of, you know, Darkseid with a little bit of other, you know, with his Darkseid and you know, up to date comments by me, Brian, and Brandon, Vince Russo, and you know, Brian Solomon. I mean, that's really what it was. Yeah.
All right. So based on what you saw, do you think the Netflix version of the Vince thing is going to be similar? Do you think it's going to?
No, I do not think it'll be similar. No,
okay.
Not at all. The Netflix, you know, again, the Netflix is a WWE production. So right there, that tells you it's not going to be similar. I mean, they may go into stuff. You know, they certainly did not shy away from the subjects that were on the show last night. You know, I mean, when they had me in, I mean, we discussed pretty much every one of those things. But in the final product, will they do that? Will they do that in the end? You know, they have obviously a lot more people, including Vince. You know, Vince did sit downs for them and others people who will, you know, in the end, try to explain why those things aren't true or not important or whatever. I mean, Vince, I presume that Vince and WWE will get the last word on all of those subjects and the tone will be different. But I don't think, I mean, and Vince even told the Netflix people, you know, don't run. I don't think he wanted them to run away from his stories. And I think maybe he wanted a chance to address them, you know. So I think it'd be very, very, very different.
All right, so you and I are going to be recording Friday a little bit earlier than normal because I have something going on. And then I'm back with you on Sunday because Brian is out. So there'll be two opportunities for us to chit-chat this weekend on Wrestling Observer
Radio.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of stuff that's going on and probably a lot more that will be happening over the next couple of days, yeah.
Yeah, can't wait for the Observer, so we'll have a lot to talk about. All right, thanks for doing this, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll talk on Friday.
All right, I want to thank Dave again for jumping on and taking a few minutes out of his very busy day to help us with one of our segments. And, you know, we don't usually start with the segment that is not John and me. So this is kind of weird. We're going second here for once. But John, what did you think of the Mandy situation that happened today, her being released by WWE?
It was a big surprise. I watched a little bit of NXT last night because I heard of the title change. So I wanted to watch that match. And I was like, man, they should have promoted this match. They should have, I hated the whole opening segment of the show. And then they did the title change later on the main event. But now I know why, why they did it. So kind of wild story, I guess. You know, WWE has their certain standards and practices when it comes to their talent on these social media sites, their own personal social media site, how they want them represented. Sponsors might be upset, etc. So I get that. I kind of can see this kind of blowing over in a few months, and I could see her back in WWE, honestly. But we'll see. I think
that's probably the hope for them, right? Is like, okay, figure out what you want to do with this thing because we've invested so much in you. Like they've really, on both main roster and NXT, they've really invested a lot in her, and it'd be kind of sad to see it all gone for naught.
I mean, I'm thinking like it can't be like a zero tolerance policy. So maybe certain things they questioned in the past, and this would put her overboard.
Well, have you seen any of the content that may have gotten flagged?
No. I just, seen Instagram stuff, and I was shocked. I'm like, there's a, an OnlyFans thing or whatever that she does. Yeah. I guess mostly everyone has something now.
I mean, it's not technically OnlyFans. It goes by a different name. She has it branded a little bit differently. But I was sort of the same as you. I was like, I see the stuff on, on Instagram, and she looks great, and it's like bikini stuff that we've seen. But then somebody sent me what is kind of the stuff that they believe she got flagged for. It is a level above that stuff. So I get it from WWE standpoint, especially if there are sponsor worries, obviously, if that's a concern. But yeah, like I think it's an interesting decision for her, because if this is true, that this website makes her more money than her WWE contract or her NXT contract or whatever part of the deal she's getting, then it makes some immediate sense to me, at least, for her to see if, like, hey, maybe I can grow this thing. Maybe this is, maybe I don't need wrestling to do this, but maybe she loves wrestling, and maybe that's kind of her thing is wrestling, and she's going to be bummed if she doesn't have it. So there's a interesting decision here. And, the way that I sort of sit with stuff like this is, the company has their rule and you can disagree with it, and it doesn't, it doesn't mean that you're going to get away with it necessarily. And it seems like maybe they gave her a little bit of slack. But at the end of the day, if she is a businesswoman, and I think she needs to do what is best for her. So if that means not wrestling, then that means not wrestling.
Yeah.
And still trying to figure out a way to stay in the public eye as much as possible. Is your cat trying to be the new Dave's dog here?
I would say a shout out to Puppin' Up of the Boom podcast. She's trying to jump on that bandwagon there, my cat here. Yeah, she's all of a sudden, well, I'm recording, huh? That was happening. I hit record, and it's like the kids, right? You get on the phone, you make a phone call, or you do a FaceTime, and all of a sudden, that's when the kids get loud and crazy, But I think, I guess, part of me feels like I can see her back in a few months after this kind of all blows over. They can come to an agreement. And a lot of people are saying like, oh, AEW. But I mean, Tony can't sign everyone right away, you know, and you know, what message does that keep sending every time WWE releases someone that he, you know, he picks them up?
I'm not sure she fits either too well.
And they have, you know, I think she didn't come from wrestling. She didn't come from the love of the game, right? You know,
she came from Tough Enough. That's what I remember her.
I think there's that WWE lifestyle that she's really used to and the celebrity that brings. So I could see her as, you know, cooler heads prevail here. And I wouldn't doubt it in a few months she shows up. So back in WWE. But, you know, I thought she did a great job in NXT when they kind of, you know, helped reinvent herself there. And the Toxic Attraction gimmick was pretty good. I thought that unit was really good together. So hate to see that end, but you know, I think the Gigi Dolin and JC Jane will be fine. So,
all right, let's talk about Dynamite now.
Yeah, I'm watching Dynamite, and I'm thinking every minute I'm like, what would Garrett thought about that? Like, I wonder if he's feeling what I'm feeling right now. Like, what was your overall feeling? Like, what was, like, as you're watching this, are you, like, excited? Or for me, I was just kind of, like, numb. Like, just there watching. Nothing really got me super pumped up other than a couple promos. And then I thought the main event was good. But other than that, I was kind of, like, just watching.
I thought... I'm tired of watching the Elite versus the Death Triangle. That was my first thought.
Did I not call the gimmick matches coming up?
Oh yeah, they're coming. They are coming. And I'm not sure that this no DQ one is the one that makes the most sense based on what they did, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
I know people are going to really like the action on Andretti thing, but I didn't love it, and we'll talk about that. And then, yeah, you know, there was a really good Hangman promo, and then, yeah, the main event was good. And I want to talk about that because this is MJF's test, right? Can he work like a champion, and can he be in the main event? You know, can he be that guy? And we got our first taste of that here. So yeah, let's just jump into it here. Right, so opens with the Round Ball Rock, the old NBC, NBA on NBC theme jingle there. Yeah, I don't know if it fits in wrestling, but it's such a cool song.
Well, it felt different, right? They did something different than the norm, and I thought, okay, there's some Christmas stuff around, but then everything else looked the same. Like, it would be kind of cool if, like, for Winter's Coming, if it's you know, one of their bigger television shows, bring the whole ramp out, you know, the whole entranceway ramp to the ring, and make it a little different, you know, just to spruce it up a little bit for these special shows.
All right, so we started with the Elite and Death Triangle. So this is match 4. Death Triangle's up 2-1. And the Elite dominated for the first 5 minutes of this match. It was all Elite. And then Nick hurts his ankle. Taz blamed the Jordans, man. That one hurt me. He blamed it on the Jordans. He called them Nikes, though. Come on, Taz. They're Jordans.
I like that analyst, though. Like, you know, it makes sense. You know, wrestling shoes.
I'm sure that's what Lance Storm would have said if he was on the mic.
Yeah.
And then... Nick was getting his ankle looked at. Okay, so Brandon Cutler has this cold spray, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just like bust it out on the ankle there?
Wasn't he doing it for a little bit there?
Was that what I couldn't tell because he was like rubbing it or something.
I mean, right away I knew, you know, it was a work and it's probably going to be the part of the story. Mm-hmm. And what a dead giveaway was that people all should have caught on. Who was the first to attend Nick Jackson when he's hurt? It was Cutler. It was Nakazawa. No AEW, doctor at ringside who always shows up, Johnny on the spot when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
So he finally did, and they end up taking Nick to the back. But it just right away, like, at first it's Nakazawa and Cutler working on him. And, you know, I mean, they try to tell a story in this one. And after that, you know, cluster that was last week's or 2 weeks ago's match, I appreciate him trying to tell a story here. But I was just kind of, like you said, kind of like just tired of seeing these two six-man tag teams going out.
And it does make sense for them to change up the last three matches, because I think that they probably think the same thing. Mm-hmm. It may have very well been booked this way, but I think they believe, like, okay, like, we're losing some steam on this thing here, and how do we bring it back? Well, you know, let's put the gimmicks and all that stuff and make mm-hmm. them available. But to me, it's like, this whole tournament, I mean, this whole series so far feels like no DQ, because the foreign object has been used every single time.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then the match before was basically, most of it was outside the ring, right? Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I knew they're going to do gimmick matches when this thing started, because I just didn't think they were creative enough to do seven straight matches. You know, you're over booking a gimmick match, right? The gimmick is best of seven, and now you're adding gimmick on top of that. And I was thinking, like, are they going to end it with a cage or a ladder match? Ladder match, to me, made more sense, right? Especially if it's all tied up.
Yeah.
They're going to probably pick that one as the match seven, which they are going to do match. When they do a match seven, it will be a ladder match. So I was kind of feeling a cage because of that Young Bucks, Lucha Brothers match. Cage yeah. match. But we got what, a no disqualification,
false count anywhere.
Oh, jeez. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing. And then the ladder match. So yeah, I just wasn't into it. I'm tired. It was less of a car wreck.
Yes.
Still some car wreck stuff, but less of it this time around.
So Penta, there's a moment where, because now it is 3-on-2.
Mm-hmm.
And with Nick in the back and Kenny's getting beat up and Matt's waiting for the tag, and Penta just flat out attacks Matt. And sometimes, you know, you'll see the referee just immediately go over there and just, like, start a count. Rick Knox, like, he looked at him and then he looked the other way.
Yeah.
And he started watching the match. I was like, okay. Like, the pile driver on the apron and ruining the possible tag. Yeah, he didn't care. No wonder they just do it, because he didn't care.
He's just stay in the corner, you know, just take a break. Just come in when you need to count three or signal for the submission victory. Basically all he's good for.
So Nick comes back. He's favoring his ankle. And they didn't even I don't know if they talked about this in the announcing, but they mm-hmm. didn't make a big deal about it. But I did notice the subtle tape job on the ankle. So mm-hmm. there was tape underneath the shoe. So they did something there.
AEW already did this year with FTR.
Yeah.
Was that Forbidden Door? Was that during the three-way match with Jeff Cobb and Great O'Conn?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I forget the other team was in that match. And, you know, whatever.
So Penta hits the ankle with the hammer. And at least in this scenario, Rick Knox was tied up with the other guys. It's not like he had to, like, quickly look away because he wasn't supposed to see it.
He was literally with Pac having a conversation about where they're going to go to eat next after this is over. Like, they're just like, Pac is laying on the mat, and Knox is talking to him, not telling him to get out. You know, he's just, I don't know what they're talking about, but he was conveniently distracted.
You know what he was telling him?
Hmm.
I bet you have that hammer in your pocket. Show me that hammer in your pocket. And he's like, no, he's like, I don't got it. And then it was the other guy who had it.
He's like, do you really have to wear this mask?
Yeah, his nose is busted. It might be busted legit. Is it busted legit? I think it's busted legit.
I don't know, but he was like, I couldn't believe, like, the mask would go down on him like a little bit. Now, he wouldn't adjust it. I'm like, just adjust that damn thing. You're making me.
Well, I mean, that's why it's hard for the basketball players too, because the thing moves a lot. Like, moves and gets fogged up.
I don't know, man. I think the NBA's quality is a little bit higher than what Pac. Pac has something from, I don't know, Party City Halloween
big,
store.
Big Five. You get the Big Five. So Phoenix grabs onto the ankle, puts him in a submission, and Nick taps out. That was the best finish out of all of them, except for the first one, maybe, I thought, you know, because it made some sense, even though it was still like way over the top with blasting some dude's ankle with a hammer.
And Nick's up on his feet during the promo after, just like, you know, very registered.
I mean, these guys got hit in the head and they did not even have a bandage. And I was saying how, you know, Moxley gets scratched on the nose and he's like bleeding a gusher. So Kenny grabs the mic and he says, he acknowledges, like, yeah, man, not too many teams come back from 3-1. I get it. And he's like, you know, you guys have used this hammer. Why don't we just make the stupid thing legal? Jeez, you just make it legal so that
after some hammer puns before,
so that, you know, we'll have our thing. You have your thing. No DQ match. And the way that he said it, it was like, you know, because he said it, it's going to happen. But then he's like, oh, you know, maybe the fans want it. So later in the evening, we got the Excalibur. It was actually in the main event. Excalibur said, yes, match five is no DQ. If they go to match six, it's falls count anywhere. And then if they go to match seven, it is the ladder match. So we're getting the gimmicks. And I in this case, not that I want to see gimmick matches, but this series does need to be freshened up a little bit for sure.
He says it's not even formatted me to cut this promo after the match. I was like, oh God, these guys are just so far up their ass sometimes. And then he's like, there's enough talking on the show already. It's like, okay, now you're making fun of your boss's booking, right? It's just the man.
All right, so MJF was with Alex Marvez, and essentially he just critiqued Ricky Starks' promo. He's just like, That was all it was. It was,
I thought it was a great promo. I thought he did a great job again. He's awesome.
I just don't understand. Like, you're about to get into a fight with this guy, and the thing that you care about is the kudos he got for going toe to toe on the mic with you.
I think he's making a point. Like, you know, they're talking about you now, but they've been talking about me since day one. You know. And then he went into the whole match and what he's going to do, beat him in his hometown, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I thought it was great. His promo and Ricky Stark's promo, the two highlights, and the match was good.
The Acclaimed, they came out to rap. Let's see. Max got in an Elon Musk line. He got in a Brittany Griner line. And then Satnam Singh attacked Billy Gunn. Sanjay Dutt attacked Max. And then Jarrett and Lethal were out there. And so they grab Caster and they blast him in the head with the guitar.
Yeah.
And Jarrett grabs the mic and gives an audible fuck you on the mic. Did you hear that?
Did he say F you?
Yeah, I think he said fuck you.
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
I tried to listen back to it two or three times. I'm pretty sure. And then the crowd started chanting at him, you suck, I think.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he did his little promo. I will say Jarrett is entertaining, but
yeah,
I'm not quite sure he and him personally, like, Lethal's great. I don't know if Jarrett should be his guy, though, his partner in a believable tag team.
I think if you're going to go this route with them as contenders for the tag team titles, shouldn't they have beat Sting and Darby at the pay-per-view?
Yes. And if the idea is the Acclaimed are kind of, you know, the chosen kind of, you know, organic grassroots group, but they're not the toughest, and we get some sort of match that's a little closer to Jarrett's style, and you know, they have to have a brawl and it toughens them up in the audience's eyes. I guess that's okay. But anything else with Jeff Jarrett in 2022, I think it's pushing it a little bit for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't look right, him out there in 2022. He's still a good talent. You know, he still can get it done, I think, in the ring. I think the match will be fine. It's just, it would be nice to, at the pay-per-view, seen him beat Sting and Darby and make a statement as a team. And then when you're ready to do this, it means more, but it just kind of seems kind of thrown together.
Yeah. Sting wasn't on this show, and Winter is Coming was his original debut, wasn't it?
Like, well, he's been off since the pay-per-view. because Darby's been by himself, and then, you know, he was out there where Darby wrestled Smojo last week, so he hasn't been accompanying Darby for a while. So yeah, I don't know what's up with what they're building to for Sting's return. Like, I don't even know who even took him out, you know. So
yeah. All right, Tony Schiavone's with the Jericho Appreciation Society. Jericho wants another shot. He's going to fight some jabroni later in the night. He wants the swing, the giant swing banned. It's a terrible move. And Daniel Garcia was about to talk about his loss of his pure title, and Jericho stopped him. And he started to speak for him and said that, you know, you need some mentorship, and you're going to have to shadow Sammy Guevara here. And so, Sammy, this is like not exactly the same. But remember in Tough Enough when The Miz was Daniel Bryan's mentor?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
Doesn't it feel like a rehash of what they did with Jericho and Daniel Garcia before? And now Daniel Garcia doesn't have issues with Sammy, or also similar to Wardlow have an issue with Sean Spears.
Group infighting.
Yeah. No one could be just a tight unit.
And we learn that Sammy's going to face John Moxley at Rampage. So next match is Brian Cage and Jungle Boy. Was Cage wearing an ROH six-man title? Is that what was around his waist?
They won on the pay-per-view. I didn't watch pay-per-view. Me and my buddy might decide to get the replay just because we really want to. I really just want to watch the
dog collar match.
I know I could probably find it with other means, but. You know, I just don't like those other means. I'd rather just buy the pay-per-view. But so we might do that this weekend. I believe he won the one-third of the six-man tag team championship.
So Brian Cage was setting up Jungle Boy for his finish. Jungle Boy turned into Canadian Destroyer. He went to get the count, but no. Yeah, he got the count. I think it was a kick out. Then he went for the snare trap. Prince Nana jumped to the apron. And then Cage got up, and then he rolled up Cage to win the match. He got the mic, and he wasn't like they were trying to sell that he was possibly hurt from when Big Bill is his new name. W. Yeah. Morrissey is now Big Bill when he threw him against the side of the apron there. But I don't know. I don't know if it really affected him too much in the match. But he called Big Bill the biggest bitch of them all, and then he called him a punk ass. And so Stokely came out, and he said that Jungle Boy's face just pisses him off. Jungle Boy goes to confront him. Lee Moriarty and Big Bill attack him, beat him up. Big Bill looks like he's been taking his vitamins, man.
He's been taking them for a while.
This guy, he's been taking them, but I didn't necessarily think he looked as lean and as cut as he does now. My goodness, this dude's in shape.
Yeah, he looked great when he was in when he came back into when he got signed with Impact. You know, looked really good. You know, Jungle Boy comes out. He's just like rubbing his back of his neck. You know, Jack, you just drive me insane again. This crowd is going nuts. They're singing your song. You just come out with no energy, no fire. This match is very indie riffic, in my opinion. I kind of wish it was more convincing win for Jungle Boy, and then he could have called out, like, you know, I guess they're trying to make him the modern day maybe Giant Killer. Is that what they're going to try to do with him? Because he just said he beat Luchasaurus, now he beat Brian Cage, now he wants Big Bill.
Yeah,
and then, you know, then they beat him up, and then these badass heels lose all their heat, like, in, you know, as soon as they got try to get any on Jungle Boy there.
Yeah, because Hook, man.
How does that make Big Bill? You're trying to get Big Bill over to this badass, and he's walking away from a high schooler with a hoodie. You're like, you know what I mean? Hook, I like the kid, but he comes out and he just looks like a high school kid with the hoodie on. And you're trying to get Big Bill over to this badass. Should he be walking away? It's what? Three on one, really, because Jungle Boy's down. So I think it's stupid. I like the idea, though, of Hook and Jungle Boy together.
The young heartthrobby tag team.
Yeah. But then again, Jungle Boy is just in a tag team, and you want to see what he can do as a single, but now you're putting him back in. But Hook needs something to do because he's been cooled off big time. So we'll see if it can, if it works, or it's just like a couple week thing.
Maybe Big Bill tried Hook one time and Hook gave him a piece of, you know, grabbed a hold and showed him some jujitsu, and Big Bill's like, nope, not again, not messing with this dude.
One of those late night Tony Khan, hanging out with Tony Khan nights, just stretching. The Tony Khan pull of Vince McMahon, hey, stretch me, Hook. And then Big Bill started jumping there and he got stretched.
No, Tony Khan would have done what Vince did with the Road Warriors. Put me in your finisher.
Crazy.
All right. So Moxley in the back with Claudio and Wheeler. Mox said that they did exactly what he said they were going to do. He beat Takeshita. Claudio beat Jericho. Wheeler beat Daniel Garcia. Claudio says 2023 is their year. And Mox called out Guevara, and he also called out Hangman and his Dark Order buddies. So we got a Swerve video package. Swerve was trying to blame this stuff on Keith Lee, man. He was like, I've been your boy this whole time, and you're turning your back on me. Wasn't Swerve the guy who walked out of the match two times?
Well, first Keith Lee walked out at the pay-per-view, and then walked out of him on this pay-per-view, RH's pay-per-view. So now they're even there. Now they say they're gonna have a confrontation or a match. They didn't really announce the match, did they?
I don't know what's going on. I was confused last week when when they had the match against JD Griffey and Shane Taylor. I was like, they're just all of a sudden back together. I thought they had this conversation that they didn't even tell us what happened in the conversation.
Who knows, man? Yeah, and I want Shane Swerve Strickland to move on to beyond Chris Keith Lee at this point and just, you know, work his way up the ranks as the top heel.
We had the House of Black against Nick Comoroto. Actually, I don't know who was supposed to be the three guys who were supposed to face House of Black.
I think it was Aaron Solo, Cole Carter, and QT Marshall, they said.
Okay.
But I know. It didn't matter, really.
Because there was like five guys in the ring, and they all got dumped on the outside because House of Black beat them all up. And so the match didn't even start yet. Second it starts, QT is just like surrounded by dudes. And he just walks right into Malakai Black's spin kick. And it was a 1-2-3. I wonder how many seconds that was. I wonder if they broke a record. They didn't mention any records for.
They couldn't break a table with Buddy Murphy trying to do his finisher on Lee Johnson. That was wacky. And then what's up with Nick Comoroto? He wants to be Scott Hall, you know, Dime Store Scott Hall right now.
I do not know.
You know, back to dark they go, you know, so.
Jamie Hayter and Hikaru Shida. Shida, like, actually spoke some, like, her English was really good in this promo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely improved.
I thought she was really good. You know, her lines were her lines, but just the fact that she's, you know, the English was really, you could tell she's working on it.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have a match next Wednesday. Not on Rampage, but on the next Dynamite. And then Britt was with Renee, and of all people, you know, Britt's one of the best talkers in the whole company.
Yeah.
And they had Sky Blue cut 75% of this promo challenging Britt to a match on Friday, and Britt was like, she was about to clown her on something, and then she just stopped herself and walked away. So I was wondering what she was going to say.
Remember Sky Blue's last promo where she came out and confronted the same group,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it was awkward, and she kept looking off to the side reading her lines on the cue card. Why would she give her another opportunity to do it again? Like,
she was better this time.
Just, this is what I mean, wasted time. You want to announce Britt Baker for Rampage? Announcer for Rampage, wrestles Sky Boot and your little, you know, rundown of the matches coming up. Like, there's no need to waste this time. This little, whatever it was, 45 seconds, you know, could have been attached to the main event.
Yes, could have. Yeah. Chris Jericho against the jobber that he's supposed to face. Action Andretti. Have you heard of this young man before?
No, I haven't heard of him, but I was thinking about Mike Aldretti, though.
Yeah, Mike Aldretti, former San Francisco Giant. You know, Mike Aldretti's nephew is in the Giants organization, Carter Aldretti.
Did you know Mike Aldretti's twin brother, Rich Aldretti, used to be in the Giants organization?
Were they really twins?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I thought they were twins. But I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, and I used to go to the San Jose Giants games, this is where they had a hell of a team in 1988, 89. My dad set me up, dude, like set me up with some pad advice. He goes, go over there and say hi to Rich Aldretti and ask him how his brother is. And so I'm, you know, a young kid. I just go over there to Rich Aldretti. He's like, hey, Rich. He goes, hey, you know, like oh, he's a fan, meeting a fan.
Yeah.
How's your brother, Mike? And he looked at me like, well, fuck you know, he was nice.
Why don't you go ask him?
Yeah. And I always thought like, he's like, what do you say? I'm like, you said he's good, Dad. Anyways,
Chris Berman's nickname for Mike Aldretti was Mike Enough Aldretti. That was his nickname for him.
I liked Mike Aldretti in the Giants, and I used to always get like a little kick when I would see him at working the dugout in the A's games and stuff, you know. So just good memories.
All right, what did I think? So I think what people are going to say is, oh, this was like X-Pac and Scott Hall. Like, this could be that version. And what I would say to that is, good for Action Andretti. We obviously have to see what the follow-up is. But I would have rather had seven other guys beat Jericho who could have actually gotten something from this other than someone who we've never seen before in our life.
Yeah. Someone on the roster now that hasn't really been featured as much, but you know, fans know he's been in the company. He's been on Dark, trying hard, all that kind of stuff.
Somebody you actually have a plan for, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about this for a couple months now. It could have been Takeshita. It could have been Dante Martin, but it could. I only want it to be them if, like, you use it to elevate them and then push them in a new direction. Not that if you use it and then they win and then they go back to doing what they were doing, which is the frustration. So, yeah, but there was so many guys that I would have rather have won this match than Action Andretti. And I guess he's going to be a part of the company now. So the way that they can show me that there was something here, there was some thought to having him win, is obviously he goes to the next level. He starts winning matches again and he becomes a guy. I don't know if that's going to happen though.
No, I'm pretty sure they'll drop this, you know, soon. You know, maybe next week Jericho loses to another guy or something like that. He goes, I guess Jericho might be going on losing streak. We'll do one of those dumb
that
things.
Never works though.
It never works. What? No, you know, and Action, I'm happy for Action, Andretti, good that he got the spot. You know, he looked really extremely nervous, you know. And which I don't blame him. He's in the biggest on live TV versus a big star, and showed some athletic ability. I don't know if you would sign this guy, you know. I wouldn't sign him, but a kid to look out for. I thought, he did some cool stuff, but I just thought it was too long. You know, like Razor Ramon 1-2-3 Kid was a perfect amount of time, right? One segment, what was it, like 6 minutes, maybe a tad bit more. This was like went to the break and it kept, I was like, okay, this is enough. It should have been. And again, could have done one segment. You could have done everything. The crowd would have reacted to it just as big, probably even bigger, because it would came out as a real big surprise. And then we could have added more minutes to the main event so they can tell a longer story.
I think Action and Andretti should be the number one contender for Claudio now. Just beat the former champ.
Maybe Jericho will get a rematch next week with the same guy, and he gets beat again. and then finally he convinces him to join the JAS, and he's part of that.
And then he calls for a best of seven. You've beat me twice.
Gosh.
I want seven. Cool for it. I don't want it to sound like I'm hating on Action Andretti in any way. No. I would just have rather seen Dante Martin or Jungle Boy or Takeshita or somebody like that who's kind of, needs a win like this to keep establishing themselves. But and they gave it to the whole Action.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who's on the roster would have been good in that good in that position. You know, Hook maybe. You know, Hook needs to do something.
All right. Ricky Starks promo. He's ready. I actually like this promo better than Max's promo, but it's a difference between a babyface and a heel promo. Mm-hmm. But he's ready. And I think I believed him, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was believable, even though I was 99.9% sure MJF was winning this match.
Yeah.
I still believed that Ricky Starks was going to come and fight his ass off. And that's what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought this was probably, yeah, I liked it a little better than MJF as well. But, both their promos in the match is, to me, the highlight of the show.
FTR video package about the Ass Boys. They're going to have a match next week. Did he say, his tailbone was jacked up or something? Or
I didn't hear that. I just remember he was saying, I'm not going to call you Ass Boys. I'm going to call you Colton and Austin. That's not call you by your gimmick name. I was like, sometimes I don't know. Stuff like that just drives me insane. But, yeah.
Jericho throwing a tantrum backstage, as he should. You notice he went into the locker room that said Chris Jericho on it, but it also said staff.
Yeah.
It was the staff locker room, and then it had the Chris Jericho placard on it too. Okay, Tay versus Ruby Soho.
A match.
I know not all martial arts are necessarily striking arts. But, Tay is a judo player, and for a martial artist, her punches are kind of sloppy. She laid it in later with some forearms that looked a lot better. It's the second match in the last three to have a jump start, I think is what you call it, which is mm-hmm. when they have a fight before the bell actually rings.
Yep.
Tay had a really good big boot that was believable near fall, but then she did the whole surprise face thing that took me out of it right after that. And then Ruby hit the destination unknown for the win, and Anna Jay power walked to the ring and then beat her up. So I guess we're gonna have a second match with Ruby and Anna Jay at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be next week or in 2 weeks or on Rampage or something. This was just a match. Again, also did not need to be two segments. Again, you could have tacked on some of their time to the main event. I know people are like, well, you can't do that because the dorks will be upset. But you know what? I'm sorry. I think there should have been more time given to Ricky Starks and Max to tell a slower story, because some of that was a lot of rushing in their match. Because
match would have been better too with less
yes,
time.
Yes, and it's more to build and off, and I think it would have been a lot better. And so here I am watching two segments of Ruby Soho and Ty Conti. My goodness, and Soho, she didn't look that good. Her punch, you talk about Tay's punches, Soho's punches look pretty bad as well. So,
all right, Alex Marvez with Hangman. I know he's the emotional cowboy, but I did like what he said. He talked about snoring for 60 seconds, which he's talking about his concussion without saying that he had a concussion. He talked about being coming to while, was he in the ambulance? I think he said he was in the ambulance when he came to. And so they were giving him all these questions. What day is it? He was able to answer, who were you just facing? He's like the champion. And then he said, what is your son's name? And he couldn't get it right for a little while. And that really frustrated him. And so that is his inspiration for coming back against Mox. So I like that they told that story. He's because we didn't know, right? We're like, oh, he got his ass kicked, so he's coming back for revenge. That's all we knew. But the fact that he had a concussion, and when he sees his kid on his phone, he is reminded of this moment when he was knocked out and could not even remember his kid's name. So I like that part of it. And it tells the story that we didn't know for the last 2 weeks or whatever.
I like the idea what they were going for here, that and the setting was all wrong in the training room with Evil Uno and that stupid mask in the background. right? I'd be in a, even if what Paige was saying was, you know, very compelling, and but you're so distracted by the goofball in the back. This should have been where you, you know,
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross does the sit down.
I thought the same thing too.
You know, and instead of, yeah, no, there's no need for, that's why I did not like it. And Marvez is the one conducting. This is where Renee, I guess Renee can't do it because, you know, but
her
then
husband.
Again, but does he not
that,
hate?
That would, yeah, that would have been interesting though, right?
Well, he doesn't hate Renee, like, right? No, yeah. Like, I'm sure, you know, Hangman the Babyface understand it's that they're, you know, yes, yeah, their husband and wife, but different, he's professional about it. So I didn't like the setting of it. And that's what was bothering me. The sensitive cowboy stuff. I know it's a little overdone, but this would have been better if they did a sit down with Jim Ross. Like I said, they never did the thing with John Moxley.
Yeah.
This, and that sit down was his, you know, then he can kind of turn up a notch at the end of that promo and talk about how, you know, how this inspired him, you know, to go back and go for the championship, et cetera, you know, be on top again, AEW.
Yeah. All right. So for Rampage on Friday, we have Moxley and Sammy Guevara, Britt versus Sky Blue, Wardlow and his world are also in action, and Dustin and the best friends with Spooky Boy, as Dustin called him in their corner, Danhausen. Against the Butcher, the Blade, Trent Seven, and Kip. So Trent Seven is sticking around, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he's per appearance right now, as Tony Khan said about that media scrum, which took a while. I don't know why I watched that damn thing. I should just waited to the notes on.
You know, I've mentioned it here, but I refuse to go to those things.
Dude, those people asking those questions are a bunch of geeks, man. Like, and they're like,
it was, you know. Okay,
it was legit journalist.
For one, it is not a scrum. A scrum is Tony Khan in a small circle of people. That is what a scrum is. Tony Khan sitting at a desk and having people ask him questions is a press conference. That's just what it is. But I think that the problem is is you have content creators mixed in with journalists, and there are two completely different priorities from both. Journalists are asking questions so they can write their stories, so they can do their podcasts, and content creators are looking for things that they could post on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. And so it's a weird fit. I don't mind that part of it. I get that part of it. I just don't like when Tony kayfabe stuff, because I'm like, okay, it's either a press conference or it's not. Like, it's so hard to kind of kayfabe and no comment and, oh, I can't talk about this storyline because nobody knows where it's going to go yet, even though we all kind of know where all of it is going, it feels like. But anyways, that's why. But, you know, he does it, and it is good PR for them, because that's essentially what it turns into, at least as far as I'm concerned. And it is different, and I like that. Like, WWE's even trying to do it now in their fake way, but you know, it's not for me. I don't want it to sound like I'm just like against the whole idea. It's just not for me in what I like to do.
But even this was in a very fake way. Like, so Claudio, and you know, what are you gonna do? Are you know, who do you want to wrestle next? And are you gonna be you know, after Jericho dishonored the Ring of Honor, and are you gonna bring Honor back? And oh my gosh. And then Samoa Joe's in character the whole time, which, you know, he's, you know, which is great. I don't, you know, and they're like, Your Highness, they're all, I'm like, what is this? And I almost said, I'm done. But then Tony Khan's like, okay, I'm going to see if he has any news on the TV. And then we got that news.
You mean no Honor news. Club?
Honor Club, which without the pay-per-views, I don't think it's worth even getting. So
there's no way.
No.
And the funny thing is like, I saw some folks go, oh, maybe this was the idea the entire time. It was not. There was no way it could have been the deal.
this was the backup plan.
The backup to the backup to the backup plan.
Yeah,
is Honor Club. And I think I would not subscribe, because I almost feel like the second that they get a hint of something better. They're just dropping this thing cold again.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, all right, Wednesday we have Jamie Hayter against Sheeta, FTR against the Guns, and match five, the no DQ match between the Death Triangle and the Elite. So we get the main event. I thought the last 5 minutes or so were excellent. Starks was favoring his left arm. MJF had played possum a little bit, and then Ricky went over to pin him, and he kind of lets his guard down. MJF turns it into salt of the earth, and he's working that arm, working the arm. MJF has all of Starks' limbs trapped in this submission, except for Starks' left leg, which was actually his inside leg. So he had to kind of turn to his side, sneak the inside leg out to get to the rope to break it. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And then MJF grabs the ref. Ref kind of gets like turned around, and then he kicks Starks low, small packages him for the win. Little Bryan Danielson-ish. I didn't know that Danielson was coming out, but it felt a little heel Bryan Danielson-ish with the small package there. And then Danielson comes from the back and chases MJF out of the building. Danielson goes to Starks, raises his arm, and that is how they end the show. And before I get your analysis on this match, the question, which I mentioned, is did MJF pass the new champ test when it came to having a believable title match?
Yeah. I thought the match was good. I thought he did fine. I just wish they had a little more time to tell the story. And yeah, MJF's good. I just had a good match on pay-per-view and stuff. So I think he's going to do a good job as world champion. Did you think they should have ended it with Danielson coming out here, or should it end it with MJF just celebrating at the end, like close the show with, you know, I kind of felt they could have held off on Danielson.
I like the Danielson thing because now next week he's got to come out and tell us what the hell's going on with Regal. Like, where has he been? Has he been at the hospital for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? We just needed to know what was next, I think, because we knew that this wasn't it, and we knew that this was building towards something bigger. So I like the payoff there. Plus, you know, your babyface doesn't win, and you're kind of bummed out, and then yet you see, oh, here's maybe this is the new hero, maybe this is the guy, and so you have a little hope as a wrestling fan. If you're that kind of wrestling fan, I don't know how many wrestling fans are like that anymore, but that's sort of how I felt, was like, okay, you know, MJF was just better than our guy, Ricky, on this night. Some point, Ricky's going to get him again. And then when we saw Danielson come out, I was like, oh, maybe that's our guy. Maybe that's our guy we got to get behind now for this dastardly champion. I mean, I was thinking, like, how would I have thought about this when I was like 14 or 12 or something?
Well, if I assume MJF and Danielson is the pay-per-view, but that's not till March. So we talked about how it's quite a ways away. So I thought, you know, they gave, I'm glad they gave Ricky an out here.
Yeah.
You know, with the low blow and deal was cool. I thought maybe you could have kind of extend this a little bit more until maybe, you know, another match, and then you can have Danielson come back and then, you know, just to kind of, because that's a long time to keep them apart.
They could do the title match, and this is a Jeremy Finestone thing.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it in Seattle.
It's true. They're coming up with that. Yeah, they're coming up.
That is in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not the title match, maybe it's a tag of some sort or some sort of confrontation. But they do have that circled, and that's also the same night. Or it's the night after Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm.
So that's going to be a long day for me, man.
How are we going to do that? I mean, we about to talk about that off air.
No. I have the plan. We're not going to record until Thursday.
Okay. Because I was looking at that and I was thinking, like, man, I want to do our tradition of all hanging out. Big Dave's.
I don't know if that's happening. We'll see if that's happening. Oh. But, because it's a Tuesday night, right? It's a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You all have, you know, we all have work done on Wednesday.
I got plenty of vacation time.
Well, I've already taken the day off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already taken the day off.
Yeah. But I can hear it now. Yeah. Take time off to watch wrestling.
I don't know if Dave, I mean, I know Jeremy wants to do it. Jeremy definitely wants to go to Dave's. And so, I mean, if people want to go, I'll go, as long as we don't fall asleep. You know, we got to.
I know the Heartbreak Kids down.
All right.
Heartbreak Kids down. No running tonight.
We'll talk to text. We'll talk to Dave about this, but
yeah,
it's possible because we'll do we won't record Wednesday night, but we'll record Thursday night, which actually also works out for me because I'm taking my boys out to the Warriors Pistons on Wednesday night. So
I don't know. I kind of preferred the Gonzalez residence.
After our last
event. It's just cleaner. There was snacks, you know.
Yeah. No, I know.
We had.
See, but you did, but there was no Dave.
People only knew.
There was no Dave to ask questions about some sort of thing that we couldn't remember or that we were wondering. That's what was missing that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that is it here. We end a little bit early tonight. You know, hopefully I can get back on Facebook. My goodness.
What happened? Even Zuckerberg got issues, man.
I don't know why I got locked out. I give them so much business. I have so many pages going. I have podcast communities in Facebook, and they bonked me out, man. I don't know. I reached out to an old friend who I used to work with, who now works for Meta, but he works for a different part of the company. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to help me, but. We'll see, man. Facebook, I don't know. Facebook,
no notification? No notification why?
Nothing.
Oh, man. It must have been some of those PW Torch people or something.
I literally don't know what I could have done. I had scheduled a stream for a different show to go to the group. And then I went back to Facebook and it locked me out. And it said my account was disabled. And I had to reach out to somebody. I could download my information for 30 days. And then I may not be able to download. It was like this weird message. So I was like, send my appeal in, figure out what's going on. And
send my appeal.
That's all. That's all you could do. You just disappeal. They didn't give you a space to say why, like, because they didn't tell me why. So, yeah, Facebook did me dirty, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't open any videos from any, you know, friends. Don't ever do that. Those messengers. Okay.
No, not at all. And you know, the irony of this is at my job, like my part of my job is when people write into high level executives, so my CEO is the one who sends me the most, but I kind of have to take over those customers. And so I have to enforce these guidelines. I'm like sort of the police and explaining why these people got their account suspended or whatever. So that's the major irony here is like I'm the ultimate rule follower when it comes to this stuff because that's what I do for a living. And so for them to flag me is kind of weird. We'll see, maybe I did something accidentally.
Might be that heat between that Facebook and Nextdoor.
they've already tried to start something to compete against us and dropped it like three different times. So I think they're focusing on
Two Doors Down.
They're focusing on the metaverse, man. That's their whole thing right now.
Metaverse. All right. I'm tired of Facebook. Yeah.
I like it just for the groups. We don't really post much to our news feed like we did back in the day, but I do enjoy our groups because the fight game one is like the best place for me to just talk about stuff on the internet. So, all right. That is it from here. So I want to thank Dave again for coming on and talking about Mandy and Vince and, you know, he and Brian Alvarez were, giant stars of that doc. Also Brandon Thurston, did a good job. Brian Solomon did a good job. Vince Russo was Vince Russo. He was exactly what you would have expected out of Vinny Ru. So thanks to Dave. And then for John, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.